30 BC by David's son Solomon, as God inspired him to pen these words. And the book of Ecclesiastes is a little bit different than the book of Proverbs. Both of them are books of wisdom. But Proverbs is much more of an introductory book to wisdom, simple principles of you and I seeking to understand life and how to live life. Ecclesiastes is a little darker book for people who are older, more mature, have experienced life, and a little more contemplative in its approach to wisdom. The interesting thing, though, is in the midst of that deep contemplation, God gives to us this little piece of great encouragement. So he tells us here in verses 18 down through 20 that it is his purpose, his desire for you and I to enjoy life. There's so many folks who really don't enjoy life. No matter how much they're blessed, no matter how much God watches over and cares for them, for some reason they still approach life as if it's a drudgery, a torture, a hardship. But God looks at life entirely different. He sees life as a gift, something to be embraced and enjoyed. He says life is but a vapor. It appears for a time and then it's gone. You and I, we take that life and we cherish it, prize it, live it, thankful for it. That's the biblical principle concerning life. Listen as I read to you Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 18 down through 20. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. So God tells us in this text that you and I are a people who should look at our lives and prize it. And I really want you this morning, my goal, my objective is for us to reshape our perspective. You know, the culture and the society we live in today, truly, it makes people begin to think that if they don't possess the Lamborghini, and if they don't look like they're 22 years old and on a professional beach volleyball team, then somehow they are shortchanged in life. But that's not at all God's perspective. God's perspective is that no matter who we are, no matter what our situation is, our life is a gift from him. And so he lays out for us three things in these verses. He says to us, our life is a gift from God. Our life's labor is good, and our life is to be enjoyed. And we should approach each day that way. No, you know, and it's not that I'm so naive that I don't think that we all experience hardship. We all experience hardship. It comes into everybody's life, whether they invite it in through wrong living or it's just the season in our lives to pass through a valley. Absolutely, that comes to us all. But life as a whole is a tremendous gift from God. That is why he wants to give us not only eternal life, but he says an abundant life. He's not talking about money. He's talking about the abundance of the joy of life that we might walk with him. So let's look here at the very first verse, verse 18 in our text. And I want you to see how our lives are a gift from him. So when we start off in that very first verse, he says, behold, that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. And I want you to grab a hold of those words, that God giveth him. Each and every one of us, God has given us the very breath that we live, that we breathe today, that we might live one more day in this life. In fact, when the scriptures talk about the kingdom of God, the overall hand or work of God, he talks about each of us being given a portion. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament. And here we find a parable, the Lord Jesus Christ trying to bring across the principle that each of us are given our pound of life, our portion of life. Listen with me as I read Luke chapter 19, verses 12 on down. It says, "He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive himself a kingdom and to return." And this is a parable. Verse 11 tells us it's a parable. "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. They came." And so he's going to go down through and he's going to talk about how each person took the portion given to them by God or given by the master, and they either used it wisely or they used it foolishly. And it's really a parable about life and the investment of God into our lives and how he gives us our portion. And he gives that to us to take throughout our lives and to use it to prosper, to benefit, not in wealth, but prospering in the gift of life to all. So in other words, touching and reaching and multiplying the gift that God has given to all of us. He goes on to say, some use their portion wisely, and others just hid it away and wasted it. And he says, that is unwise, that is foolish. You and I, the gift of God that has given us in life, we should take that gift and use it. We should be influencing others about the blessing of what God has given us. If every day what you do is you get up and you go to work and you kick the water cooler and you stand around and you gripe and complain and you hate your job, you hate your spouse, you hate your kids, you hate your haircut, everything about life is just such a horrible bummer, then that is the person who hid their money in the ground and wasted their portion. They wasted their life. And I really want you to get that. That he is likening this unto the kingdom. He's saying that God has invested in us that we might invest in others. Not for negative, but for good. Because the life we have is a gift from God. Look with me, if you would, also in the New Testament to the book of James. Small epistle towards the end of your Bible. You have the book of Hebrews, then you have the book of James. Look with me, if you would, to James chapter 1. And I'm going to read you just a few verses. Verse 16, and listen to what he has to say to us. James 1:16. "Do not err, my beloved brother." And he's saying, don't make a mistake here. I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say to you. "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." In the context, he's telling us, make no mistake, folks. God blesses us with many good things in our lives. The very breath of life, the very amazing gift of love and family. You know, just a couple Saturdays ago, we had Mike and Rose's wedding, and last Sunday I preached on the family, the biblical family, and I talked about how you see this bride come down the aisle, and we're talking about Rose coming down the aisle, and Mike is standing here. He's glowing. She's glowing. Everything's amazing. What a gift. I'm telling you. The gift of love and life and marriage and children and family. Is it all a piece of cake? Of course not. But it's wonderful. And he says to us in here, he says, make no mistake. These good things come from above as God gives them to us. And then he gives us a little piece of wisdom. He's saying, be slow to speak. In other words, don't always pop off. Everybody doesn't need to know everything you're thinking because it creates problems. So he says, be slow to speak. In fact, let's look at the exact verse so I don't leave anything out of it here as we come down into it. I want to make sure I have it all down. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And I love that God gives us that little piece of wisdom because he's talking about the goodness of life, God pouring forth all these good things to us. And he says, you need to learn to listen to those who are around you and stop being so angry. Stop being so vocal. Listen to others so that you might enjoy the gifts that God has for you. We live in such a chaotic world that we barely hear what's going on. When I was a teenager, I worked a construction job, and one of my jobs was to run the jackhammer. They're going to give that to the youngest, strongest guy on the crew. All the other guys are older and wiser. So they give you the jackhammer and they tell you, okay, we want you to jackhammer out all this cement. And so all day you stand there. At first it's fun because you're cool. This is amazing. You're busting out cement. But after a little while, you realize this is so loud. I can't hear anything. And after a while, it's beating you up. And by the time you're from here to there, you're thinking, I'll never make it through the whole day. It's just so loud and so much chaos and so much going on. But you just keep pressing through. That's how some people treat their lives. It's just a cacophony of noise and chaos every day at home, at work, on vacation. If they're going to go to a concert, they want to go where it's the loudest, it's the banging, and it's people banging into each other. Everything's a cacophony of noise. And they never just stop and listen. Listen to what God has given us. Listen to the gift of life. He tells us, he says, be slow to speak, slow to wrath. Learn to listen because God has given us such a gift in life. Sandra, Joe, and I, when we built our house over here on Route 22A, there were no trees. We built our house, no trees. And with those no trees, there were no birds. We tried to lure them in with food and all that. But birds are afraid when there's no shelter. Well, we planted trees. And as the years go by, now, we built the house in the year 2000, 17 years later, when we open our windows, there's all this beautiful bird singing and all that. It's amazing. Just think, though, if there's always so much noise, you can't even hear the birds sing. You and I in our lives, we have to take time to listen to the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Listen. Listen to our spouse as they reach out to us, our children as they reach up to us, as our God desires to work in us. We have to listen because life is such a gift. But not only does he teach us in this text our lives are a gift from God, he also teaches us that our labor is good. And this really is countercultural. I know I say that often, Because I want you to understand that when we look into the Bible, we're not trying to conform the Bible to culture. We're trying to understand what God has for us. And he tells us something here, that there is this four-letter word that everybody has made out to be so horrible that God says is actually good. And that word is W-O-R-K. I want you to look with me, if you would, in verse 18 again. Listen to what he says. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good things of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life. He says, you know, that labor, that work that you and I do throughout our whole lives, he says, it is good. It's not something to be hated. It's not something to be dreaded. It's not something to be ashamed of and try to flee from. It's something to embrace and to do the best we can at. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's powerful. That's strong. That is a strong attitude that God has towards us if we will not even provide for our own. He tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Wow, that's strong too, isn't it? He says if we won't work to care for our families, if we don't work to provide, then we should not even eat. It's not that he's wanting a world of starving people. He's wanting to motivate people to embrace the goodness of work, because it's not something to be despised or hated. It's something to be embraced, polished and shined, honed to be the best. It should be that on you and my jobs, we are an example of somebody who does the very best we can, all to the glory of God. In fact, Ephesians 4:28 teaches us that work is honest. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Very interesting that God says to us, one of the very reasons he gives us the ability to work and to labor is to share with those who can't. Not those who won't, but those who can't. He says it should be that we're able to enjoy the work we have, invest in the work we have because it is good. And it gives us an opportunity to help others who can't. Life is not the drudgery that people make it out to be. It's an adventure. It is good. It's not always easy, but it's good. We just had a number of people go on a missions trip, and we have done many trips, missions trips throughout the years from our church, and they are all hard work. When we organize a missions trip, we go to a country, and there we do labor, and I mean physical labor, building, painting, construction. We might dig ditches. Who knows what we're going to do. We're going to line up with a missionary, and we're going to do physical labor. Then we're going to do ministry. We might do a VBS. We might sing at churches. And the people who go, they learn in the language they're going to, the songs. So they might be singing in Spanish or Portuguese, or they might be going over to Europe and singing in one of the languages there, whatever it is. So they study for months to go, and it's not easy. But then when they get there and they start doing the construction, what a blessing. I still have missionaries who we went on a missions trip to their country years ago who write me or call me or text me or email me or tweet me or whatever it is that needs to happen today. And they'll say to me, we'd love to have you come back. Still using what your group did. Really would love to have you. And they're prodding, they're pumping, you know, they're putting a little primer in the pump. Pastor Taylor, put us back on the list. But it's hard work. But when you see those folks come back from those missions trips where they've labored, where they've ministered, they've done some sightseeing, when they come back, they say, it is good. What a blessing. What an opportunity. What an adventure. Someday, you and I, when we're gathered in heaven above, and if you've received Christ as your Savior, and you're born again, and you're a child of God, and God has given you newness of life, one day we're going to be gathered in heaven, and we're going to look back at our lives, and we're going to say, our work was good. Our lives were a gift. Even the hard times, even the good times, all of them will meld together, and we will say, life was good. Don't make it bad. Don't set that framework in your mind where every day you dread the drudgery of getting up one more day. You shape and make that attitude through the power of God to get up each day and say, Lord, help me to face this adventure with you. Lord, help me to honor you in whatever I do this day. Lord, help me to be the best wife or husband or the best student or the best whatever it is God has for you right now. Lord, help me to enjoy that work and do that work that I might be an honest laborer who can invest in others who cannot work. There's a third piece in this text, and that is our life is to be enjoyed. Look with me again at verses 18 and 19. He says, behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. For it is his portion. For every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. So he emphasizes through these verses that not only is life a gift from God, not only is life's labor good, but he says it is to be enjoyed. That's why he says it is good to look. That's how he starts off in verse 15. Behold, that which I have seen. It is good to look at our life sometimes, to just step back. Clear the cloud away and just look at our life. I was talking to Diane down here during this morning as we were getting ready for the Bible hour. She mentioned that she had fallen, and she described how she had fallen swimming with her little grandbaby. So not grandbaby, but grand 10-year-old. That's a baby to me, but, you know, 10 years old. So she said, I was out there trying to show my grandchild that, you know, I can still do this and this and this, but she slipped. But you know what? When she talks about it, she kind of smiles. Because she's really not talking about the slipping. She's talking about being with her granddaughter in the lake swimming. You see, you and I in our lives, sometimes if we'll just step back and look, even some of the hardships and difficulties they're covered by blessing, opportunity, situations where we can say, thank you, Lord. You know what? Thank you. I got to go in the lake with my 10-year-old granddaughter. I maybe tried to do too many flips and slipped on the rocks. Probably shouldn't have done that. You know, probably shouldn't have done the swan dive that made me do the belly flop. But Lord, thank you so much that I could be with my granddaughter in the lake. And if we're not careful, so many things in our lives, we overshadow. You know, the sliver becomes such a loud little throb that we forget all the goodness of everything else we got going on. So when you look at this text, he says, eat, drink, enjoy the labor of your life. I was reading years ago about a woman in New York City who she had grown up through the Depression. She had learned frugality, but she was a very successful businesswoman in New York City and bought an apartment building. charged premium rents for all her apartment, and she built for herself at the end of one of the hallways a little room. And she lived her whole life in the room at the end of the hallway. Not an apartment, a room. So in the high rise, everybody had beautiful apartments. She lived her whole life in that room. And when she died as if she had lived a pauper her whole life. Now she died with multi-millions in the bank. And she willed it to a college. But she had lived like she was a pauper. God says, eat, drink, enjoy the labor of your life. My dad, all those years, my parents divorced when I was 14. Dad was a construction foreman, and he was a very frugal guy. But he had his interests, and he bought himself a brand new John Deere tractor. He was so excited, but it took months to convince him, Dad, spend the money. He would say to me, well, I want to make sure I leave something to you kids. And I would say, Dad, buy the tractor. So after he bought the tractor, he would talk to me on the phone. He'd say, yeah, I wish I'd have bought the bigger model. I'd say, Dad, load the tractor up, bring it back, buy the bigger model. No, that's too big a waste of money. So he never did. But you know what? I would have been happy for him to take my little piece of the inheritance and buy the tractor he would have really loved. God says, eat, drink, enjoy what God has given you. Don't be foolish. He's not telling you to borrow from the credit card company. He's saying, that which you have labored for, he says, enjoy it. You and I, we need to be careful that we don't buy into the lie of the world where we think that everything has to be so extraordinary to be good. Life is good. The simple things of life is good. He's not talking about a worldwide trip here. He's talking about simply eating and drinking that which our labor has provided. One of the things I love the most about this time of year is fresh blueberries. Don't you love? I don't even want to know if you don't like blueberries, so we won't go there. They make me look forward through the winter. Oh, I know you can get frozen blueberries. I know all about that. But when fresh blueberries come out, they are so good. On your cereal, in your hand. They're just good. They're not exotic. You don't have to go to Tahiti. You don't have to go to Japan. You don't have to go to some offshore, faraway place. They grow right here in Vermont. There are so many things in our lives that God says to us, eat and drink and enjoy the labor of your life. My point this morning to all of us is if we're not careful, we spend our lives just begrudging each day. And it's not that God doesn't know that labor's hard. It's not that God doesn't understand that some foremen or bosses or owners or teachers can be really hard taskmasters. He knows all that. But he still tells us life is a gift. Work is good. And enjoy the blessings of the Lord. You and I that have Christ in our hearts, not only do we have this life, we look forward to an eternal life. And if God gives us all the goodness of here, he says, just think of what there is there. I'd like you to bow your heads with me as we come to the end of the service. And let's take just a moment to bow our heads and let's listen. Let's take a moment for just a little silent prayer. And let's listen to God speak to our heart about our life. Let's take a moment of silence.